بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us these beautiful nights and these beautiful moments during the month of Ramadan, especially during the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. Allah has given these moments to us to cleanse and purify our hearts. Our beloved Shaykh, Hazrat Mufti Yusuf Desai Sahab, Damat Barakatuhu, explains by means of an example that a person has a glass of water. He asks his son to bring the glass of water to him. And the young child was having supper, was having lunch. He forgot to lick his fingers. And he brings the glass, and the glass is soiled on the outside. There's marks on the outside. It doesn't look very appealing. A person will not tolerate drinking fresh and pure and clean water from such a glass. In fact, we'll say, take the glass away from the table, because I'm losing my appetite just looking at the dirt on the outside. But when it comes to myself, leave the outside, the heart inside has become dirty, has become soiled, has become rusty. How do I expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tolerate this? When I can't tolerate the dirt on the outside of the glass, and the heart that is dirty, that is not clean, that has not been reformed, how can I then expect Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to tolerate this? The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُضْغَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَلَا. That listen attentively to what I'm going to say to you, that in the body there is a piece of flesh. There is an organ within the body of each and every person. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. If that organ, if that piece of flesh is reformed, if it is cleansed, if it is purified, if an effort is made to clean it and to correct it, the entire body will become correct. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. And if that piece of flesh, that organ, has to become spoiled, has to become dirty, has to remain untreated, then the entire body, the entire life of a person will be spoiled. These moments, these nights and these days, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given to us not just for ibadat, but for us to make that effort to cleanse and to purify the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And we know what a great Nabi of Allah he was, how much of qurbani and sacrifice he gave. As a young man growing up and witnessing his people in idol worship and having the courage to stand up against them, and then being banished from that place, thrown into the fire, and then he is commanded to leave his young wife and child in the barren desert of Makkah Mukarrama. There is no food, no vegetation, no source of life, nobody there to take care of them. Then Allah Ta'ala calls him back to Makkah. He's given the task of building the house of Allah. And then finally, the ultimate challenge, the ultimate sacrifice for any parent, that take your young son, who has reached the age where he can be of assistance to you, and place the knife on his throat and take his life. All of this qurbani Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam gave for the sake of Allah. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the dua that he makes. وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. That, oh Allah, do not disgrace me on the day of Qiyamah. Such a great Nabi of Allah, but he got this concern, he's making this dua, oh Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, do not disgrace me. Ulama say, in this world, if my files have to be opened and my secrets have to become exposed, my own wife won't be prepared to share the bed with me. Nobody will want to stand next to me in the masjid because I have been exposed. He says, oh Allah, don't disgrace me. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. On that day when the wealth of a person, the children, his resources, his assets, his empire, everything that he built up in this world will be of no benefit to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, if a person had the ability to bring the entire world full of gold and silver and times it by two and ransom or offer all of this as a ransom, that just save me from the fire of Jahannam, Allah says, مَا تُقُبِّلَ مِنْهُمْ. It will not be accepted from them. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, on that day the wealth of a person, the children of a person will be of no benefit to him. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except that person who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sound heart, with a clean heart, with a purified heart, a heart that he has made effort on. This is the goal, this is the objective, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these moments during the calendar year, for us to make an effort to cleanse and to purify the heart. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. The sickness of the heart. Allah says that from amongst the people there are those who have taken other than Allah as their idols. As it explains, Damat Barakatuhu, that one is idol worship. Allah protect us, Allah save us. One is a person puts his head down before an idol that he has fashioned and created with his own hand. And the other is the idols that each and every person has within his heart, the hidden idols. Hazrat explains that what started off as a pastime, and then it became a hobby, and then it became a passion, and then I have such love for it that it becomes a religion. You ask that person, I can't give up my swimming in the morning, I can't give up my ball every evening. It's become such a passion, it's become niddun andad. Allah Ta'ala is saying, those people who have taken deities, idols other than Allah, يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. Allah says they love them as they are supposed to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The enjoyment a person is supposed to find in deen. This is the thermometer, my dear brothers. This is the yardstick, the gauge, the barometer of the heart. That those things that I am supposed to be finding enjoyment in, am I finding enjoyment in that or not? When I open Quran Sharif, is there enjoyment for me? When I stand on the musalla, can I taste the sweetness of my salah? That I have that iman within my heart, but is the effect of that iman visible or not? يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. Allah Ta'ala says they love these idols. Whatever the idol may be, person is addicted to sports, is addicted to fashion. He loves it as he is supposed to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it comes to the avenues of deen, when it comes to the a'mal of deen, now to sit for 10 minutes is difficult. To open Quran Sharif for 10 minutes is difficult. Hazrat gives an example. He says that person who is absolutely sick, he's been admitted to a hospital, and he's on all types of machines and medication. And it's a Friday afternoon. His wife says that my husband likes his biryani on a Friday, so I'm going to cook a nice pot of mutton biryani for him. She takes it, she packs it up, and she takes it to the hospital. Hazrat says, such an aroma, even the Hindu walking past wants to become a Muslim. That what you got in that pot is very, smells very nice. The vegetarian, but that just the aroma alone is enough to change him. And this food is presented to the sick person and he puts it into his mouth, he says it's not tasting right. Maybe the salt is less, or you forgot to add some spice. I can't taste anything. Rather just give me some tea, or give me some biscuits, I'll suffice on this. I'll have a bowl of soup. He says, but this is your favorite meal. I prepared it just the way you like it. The children are enjoying it. Everybody else is saying it's very tasty. As it says, the taste buds have become spoiled. Sinuses have become clogged. That now I'm not finding enjoyment in those things that Allah Ta'ala has kept enjoyment in. This is a sign, ulama explained, that the heart has not yet been cleaned and purified. That now how much of an effort a person needs to make. And ulama explained the danger. That person who will pass through his entire life, and he will not have that concern and that worry that I must cleanse and purify and make effort on my heart. Then like a person who goes for Umrah or Hajj, and he goes to the shop and he buys a CD with his favorite reciter, the entire Quran on one CD, Juz 1 to Juz 30. And he has recited by the Imam of the Haram. He's excited, he comes back home. And he prepares, now I'm going to listen to the CD every day on my way to work. He takes the CD out of the cover. He puts it into the radio. And he's pressing the buttons, no sound is coming out. He takes it out again. Maybe there's some dust. He puts it back in, but nothing. There's nothing playing, it's a blank CD. He realizes I've been deceived. The cover is very nice and beautiful. It's got a picture of the Haram of Makkah. And it's got written there entire Quran, the name of the reciter also, but the CD itself is blank. Ulama say it should not be that I have the outer appearance of deen. A person thinks to himself, I'm okay. I got little bit activities of deen, little bit sadaqah, I'm giving Hajj and Umrah, I'm going every year. Alhamdulillah, I'm contributing to this masjid, that madrasa. I come for my salah also, and I read my, make my Quran tilawat also now and again. Qurbani also, I do nafil Qurbani every year. So I got deen in my life, I'm okay. Ibrahim alayhi salam is making dua, oh Allah, that day nothing will benefit a person except a sound heart. He made an effort to cleanse and to purify the heart. He had fikr and concern for his iman. To unclog the sinuses now. That now I can taste the enjoyment when it comes to the ibadat of Allah, when it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the danger is a person does not make this effort. Then it should not be when I go into the qabr also, that I have this external appearance of deen. I have a Muslim name. I have got Ayatul Kursi on my door. Like they mention on a lighter note, that Imam Sahib came out of the masjid. And he sees one person standing outside, leaning against the car. He's got a cigarette in his hand. No topi on, no kurta. So the Imam Sahib walks past him. The person calls him back. That no salam also? Where's your manners? Where's your akhlaq? So Imam Sahib says to him that, brother, make me maaf, I didn't realize you were Muslim. So he gets angry, he gets upset. Then, Maulana, can't you see my number plate has 786 on it? You can't tell I'm a Muslim? Hazrat says, if the number plate makes the car a Muslim, then when I put a messy name on my shirt, what does it make me? If what's on the outside has an effect on the inside, what does this make me? So it should not be that I have just the external appearance of deen. I've got involved in a few activities of deen here and there in my life. But when I go into the qabr, it's a blank CD. What's in the heart comes out, there's no iman, no kalima. Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allah Ta'ala save us. But Allah Ta'ala has given us these moments, my dear brothers, for us to make this effort to cleanse and to purify the heart. Mawlana Yunus Daya Sahab Rahmatullahi Alayhi, very pious alim of Marlborough, passed away a few years back. So he mentioned on one occasion, a very great ashik and lover of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. He says, what will be the condition of that person whose entire life came out in the disobedience of Allah? He was negligent, he was weak, like every person who will make an error, who will make a mistake, he will slip up. But he didn't make an effort to clean out and clear out the cobwebs of the heart. He didn't concern himself with purifying the heart. He says, when that person goes into the grave, what is he going to do? What is he going to do? There's no contact there. There's nobody on speed dial. Hazrat explains also, in this world I have everything. I have the contact for everything. I need my passport, I know who to go to. I need the birth certificate arranged, I can get it in a few hours. I need to book the flights, I have all the details on the cell phone, I can do it. Whatever it is of dunya, I need some work done around the house, I know the handyman. I have all of these contacts in dunya, in the akhirah there's no contacts. Illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, that person who will come to Allah Ta'ala with a sound heart, he will be protected on that day. He made an effort. So in this verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that these people have taken these idols, yuhibbunahum kahubbillah, and they love them as they are ought to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You ask that youngster, give up your social media, I can't do it. I just cannot do it. But it's finishing you. Your parents are becoming upset with you. You're missing your salah with jamaat. I just can't give it up. Hazrat says, what started out as a pastime, and then it became a hobby, then it became a passion, it became a religion. And this we have to say, my dear brothers, right now, when it comes to sports in the ummah, this has become like a religion. We are not saying that sports is impermissible. But ulama explain, and something that really hits the heart, that that person who has all the boxes ticked, my salah is in check, I got no qada salahs in my life, all my zakat is up to date, my business dealings are okay, my Quran recitation is fine, my tajweed is okay, as far as my relationship with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that also is smooth sailing, I've got all these boxes checked and ticked in my life, then for me to enjoy some downtime, no problem. To take the family and the children to have a breather. And to enjoy myself or relax on the weekend, no problem. But we know what happens. The booking is made, I can't miss the booking. But salah time has come in. Isha time now is early. We're going to miss Isha with Jamaat. Never mind, we'll read it at the courts. As though we are halalizing it. Making it kosher in some way. some way or the other. So Ulama explained, this is the deception of nafs. When a person has not made an effort to cleanse and purify the heart, then he will say to himself that my life is okay, everything is on track. But the way nafs and shaitan will work, and here an ajeeb point Ulama explained when it comes to shaitan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gave shaitan this amount of power to place one whispering into the heart. That's it. Allah didn't give him the power to take my hand and hold me and now take me towards guna and sin, or to force me to wake up and commit that act of guna. All Allah gave him was that amount of authority to whisper into the heart. That's it. One pious person Allah Ta'ala gave him the opportunity to speak to shaitan. So he addresses him, he says that you are responsible for all the evil in this world. And you are the one to blame. Shaitan says to him, I didn't do anything. So he says, what do you mean? He says, let me show you. Just an anecdote for us to understand. It's easy to blame shaitan, but the real chor, the real thief is the nafs within the heart. So shaitan says, let me show you. He takes him. And he takes one drop of honey and he puts it onto the wall. As they say, just to put the honey on the wall and see what happens. So the honey is on the wall, one fly comes and sits on that honey and begins to suckle at the honey. As that fly is doing this, a lizard sees the fly. And now that lizard comes, it has its meal for the day, it goes for the fly. While this is happening, a person walks by, he has his cat with him. And the cat sees there's a lizard. So the cat thinks, this is my meal for the day. The cat goes for the lizard to attack it. There's another person crossing on the other side of the road. He has his dog with him. The dog sees the dog attacks the cat. These two animals are fighting. And now the owners also, so much of muhabbat and love for their pets and animals, they begin to fight. Dispute breaks out, voices are raised, tempers are flared. And then suddenly, person can't control himself, he pulls out his firearm, and he pulls the trigger, and that person falls down, he loses his life. Shaitan stands back, he says, I didn't do anything. All I did was put the honey on the wall. It was nafs that made them do this. Ulama say, this is shaitan. Allah just gave him that amount of authority, just to place one waswasa. The word in Arabic, waswasa. In English also, a person whispers, soft. Sometimes you can barely hear the whisper. But insan says, labbaik. So this is when the nafs has not been trained, has not been purified and cleansed. This is why ulama explained, this is an effort, a lifelong effort. That no matter what my condition may be, no matter how many years I have come out in the masjid also, but as long as I still have zindagi and life left, I cannot leave out this effort of cleansing and purifying the heart, of making an effort to cleanse the heart. And then ulama explained that there are a few yardsticks and gauges a person can use to see, is my heart in the right condition or not. We know when it comes to our vehicles, a person with a trained ear will just listen to the idling of the vehicle, he knows there's something wrong. This car is taking oil, or there's something needs to be changed. He just listens to the sound of the engine and he knows there's something wrong. Ulama explained, when it comes to the engine of my heart, when it comes to my gaze, my alignment is completely off. A person is driving on the highway, the steering is pointing in the straight, but the car is moving to the right, moving to the left. There's a plug on the side wall. Person will say, it's too dangerous. Before I embark on my journey, I have to change the tire. I've got to get the alignment sorted out. The balancing needs to be done. But in my own life, is my alignment checked? Is my balancing checked? Is the heart taking oil or not? Hazrat explains also, a person is driving on the highway. In the middle of the night, he's got his lights, his bright lights on. And there's another car coming in the opposite direction also with the brights on. He says, if those both drivers do not put their dims on, there'll be a fatal accident. Loss of lives, the cars will be written off and totaled. In the same way, I'm walking in public. I'm going to the office, to the shop, to the marketplace. I am walking in one direction, she's coming in the other direction. I've also got my high beams on, I'm looking straight ahead, she's looking straight ahead. We can imagine here, if we don't put our dims on, if we don't drop the gaze here, the accident will be even more fatal. In this world, it'll be, the car will be written off. Perhaps the person will end up in the hospital, he might break a limb or two. But if I do not drop the gaze and put the low beams on, then it will be an accident of the qabr, accident of the akhirat. So have I checked my alignment and my balancing? When last have I gone to check the condition of my heart? We know a person is not well in this world, and old age is setting in. His wife will say to him, listen, I've made the appointment at the doctor, you're not going to work today. I don't care what happens, you're not going. But you must go and keep to that appointment, go and check yourself. Something is not right, you're breathing heavy in your sleep. I can tell there's something wrong with you. Go and get your bloods taken. And find out what is the problem and get the medication and please take it. And she'll make sure he takes the medication for the health of the physical heart. But myself, when last have I checked the spiritual heart? What is the condition of my heart? Ibrahim alayhi salam is telling us. If a person does not make an effort to cleanse and purify the heart, what is he going to do? On the day of Qiyamah, it should not be, وَلَا تُخْزِنِي, O Allah, don't disgrace me on that day. On the day when there will be no contacts, no wealth, no children, no shortcut to jump into the front of the queue, or to get admission into Jannat, there it will be on the condition of my heart and the effort I made on my heart. So ulama explain a few gauges, a few yardsticks for a person to use. That is my heart in order or not? Or am I suffering with heart disease? The first thing, الَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ فِي وُجُوهِ الْبِرِ. The first yardstick, the first gauge, that when a person has surplus funds, then he spends it in avenues of goodness. As far as his hobbies and passions are concerned, this is in its place, but he is looking to make his akhirat. Every time I can contribute to some good cause, alleviation of poverty, there is a new project coming up, some masjid, I'll contribute to it, some madrasa that I will send some funds to. Ulama explain also, one is a person will leave this world, and his 4 or 5 children will come together and say, our father left a warso inheritance for us, let's get together and put one borehole for him. 10,000-12,000 rand and we'll dig the borehole. He says, your 4 or 5 children will put one borehole for you in your lifetime, you can put 5 or 6 for yourself. You have the funds, do it for the sake of Allah. الَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ فِي وُجُوهِ الْبِرِ. And Allah bless those businessmen, they are those who are making it in this world, alhamdulillah. Azam Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi would say, enjoy this world. Eat the best of food also, sleep on the best of beds. But don't break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are those businessmen. Allah has given them. But every deal, every transaction, how can I take from here to support the cause of deen? Some avenue of deen, I will put my funds into it. I will purify my wealth in this way, and Allah is giving them. So, الَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ فِي وُجُوهِ الْبِرِ. He spends his wealth in avenues of goodness. Then the second yardstick, الَّذِي يُرْشِدُ بَنِيهِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. When it comes to his children, his non-monetary assets that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed him with in this world, he understands my children are an amanat from Allah. That I cannot make any decision that I want to make for them. Ulama explain, الْوَلَدُ سِرٌ لِأَبِيهِ. That the son and the child is a secret to what is in the father's heart. The father, maybe he's a modisab also, he's got to wear kurta and topi. But I will dress my son how I would have liked to dress. I'll push him into those avenues. I'm gone old now. I can no longer do what I used to do in my youth. But what's in the heart of the father will come out in his child. And now we see, the young boy, he can barely spell his own name. He can barely count to 10. But he knows the name of all the cars on the road. Why the father got the muhabbat in his heart? يَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Allah Ta'ala says they have taken these idols. They love them as they're supposed to love Allah. The father got the muhabbat and love. The child also now, it comes onto his tongue. You know, a person is in business. He's ordering. He's dispatching. He's making phone calls. How the son begins to imitate him. He can place the order himself. He knows, he hears his father doing it every day. But when it comes to my du'as in the morning, when it comes to my du'a before eating, when it comes to getting my children ready for school, he knows, if I don't brush my teeth, my mother will shout me. If I forget to take my lunch to school, I'll go hungry the entire day. But when last did my parent remind me, why did you forget your miswak or not? You made miswak before you left. Did you read your du'as when you woke up in the morning? الَّذِي يُرْشِدُ بَنِيهِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. The second yardstick, when it comes to his children, he guides them to the avenues of haqq and correct, what is good and what is correct عند الله. He makes the right decisions for them. That I may not have had those opportunities growing up, but now Allah has given me my children, I will push them in the avenues of goodness. And ulama explain that if we will make the correct decision for our children, we will give them a deeny education. Not to say that we do not give them some worldly education, by all means. Equip them with what they need to pass their life in this world. No problem. But not at the expense of their deeni ta'lim and education. Their deeni identity is the most important thing. And when I leave this world, that same child who I made effort to teach Quran Sharif, now he'll read and send for me. When the father is in the grave, his a'mal come to an end, he's looking now for every spare wheel that he can find. If only I made more Quran tilawat. If only I made more istighfar. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that a person will be lifted in the akhirat. And his level and his stage will continue to go higher and higher and higher. And such a maqam and position Allah Ta'ala will give him, he'll say, oh Allah, I know my deeds were not up to scratch. How is it I got this position? Allah Ta'ala will say, you left behind a pious child. He made istighfar, bistighfari waladika lak. He would ask me to forgive you on account of his istighfar. This is now my favor and my bounty I'm giving to you. So he makes the right decisions with regard to his children. He pushes them in the right avenue. He gives them deeni ta'lim and education. This is a sign this person's heart has been worked on. The heart is now idling correctly. It's not taking oil. The alignment is right. The balancing is right. This is a sound heart, a clean heart, a pure heart. A heart that Allah Ta'ala is ready to accept. Then thirdly, ulama explained, الَّذِي لَا يَكُونُ فِي قَلْبِهِ غَلَبَةُ الشَّهَوَاتِ. That when it comes to temptation and desire, one is the temptation and desire that will come. And ulama explain how, when nafs and shaitan will attack a person, then how it will pound the heart and hit at the heart. That do it, do it, do it. Person says, I just can't hold myself back. Like how the person who suffers from anger, and he says that when my wife disobeys me, I can't hold back. And the words that come out, there's no dictionary for it also. But he says, Maulana, I can't do anything about it. It's not my fault. So Hazrat gives the example, Damud Barakatuhu, that let that husband be taking out his anger on his wife. She did something wrong. She burnt the food. Something wasn't right. She made a mistake. And now he's letting her have it. He's having a full go at her. And the doorbell rings. And he opens the door, he sees his two brother-in-laws who are bodybuilders, they came to visit. He says, now see how quickly the anger will go away. Now the control came. Suddenly how the control came. So, لا يكون في قلبه غلبة الشهوات. When it comes to the temptation and desire of nafs and shaitan, it will hit the heart, but he has it under control. And here one very important point, my dear brothers, especially our youth. We've been saying this over and over again. How many youngsters will come and say, Maulana, I'm making an effort. I'm trying. I put my cell phone away also. I deleted that contact. But the temptation is still there. When will it go away? Hazrat explains, if temptation has to go away, nobody will get married in this world also. The whole world will cease to function. If there's no love for dunya, nobody will wake up in the morning to open his dukan and shop. So one point to understand is that when it comes to temptation and desire, this will continue. Ulama say the closer a person will get to Allah, the stronger the temptation will be. The stronger the desires will be. But Allah Ta'ala will create the avenue for the person to resist. Hazrat Mu'anayim Sahib Damat Barakatuhu gives the example all the time. The person has made an effort to cleanse and purify the heart. His intention is there. I've got bimari of the gaze, I can't control my gaze. And he sees that woman opposite the road, on the other side. He wants to look. He doesn't have that courage and willpower within him. But because he's made an effort, his intention is there. Suddenly that bus will come in front. And now he becomes frustrated. I can't look at her. And he's waiting, moving this side, that side, waiting for the bus driver to move. And finally the bus goes away and she's gone, she went into the house already. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, I missed it. But Allah Ta'ala came to his rescue. How and how Allah Ta'ala will come to a person's rescue? He will create the avenue for a person to avoid guna and sin. Because he has made an effort on the heart. He understood my goal and objective in this world is to cleanse my heart. So when he comes to his temptation and desire, he has it under control. الَّذِي لَا يَكُونُ فِي قَلْبِهِ الْعَقَائِدُ الْبَاطِلَةِ Then ulama explained the fourth gauge. That when it comes to the belief system of a person, his belief system is correct. If we have to open this topic, my dear brothers, we'll be sitting here till Sehri time. When it comes to the belief system of the ummah, ulama explained 20 years ago, we were making dua, Allah Ta'ala protect the a'mal of the ummah. Save the a'mal and the taqwa of the ummah. That they must not do the incorrect actions. Now the dua is, oh Allah, protect the aqidah and the beliefs of the ummah. We know the different isms and ideologies that are being pushed wholesale in the media by the West. Where a Muslim also begins to believe these things. There was an incident of a youngster in Azadwal. Ulama say, jokingly, that Azadwal is Qariyatu Salihin, the town of the pious. The Darul Uloom and so many ulama. There was a youngster living not far away from the madrasa. If I'm not mistaken, Hafizul Quran also. He would read his salah in the madrasa also. He had ta'alluq. He had some relationship with the ulama and the asatiza of the madrasa. So there was a kitab that one of the ulama had written where he spoke about the Quran Sharif and about our belief in the Quran Sharif. So he gave this book to this youngster that he was in university, so he says to him that just do some proof reading, check the English, check the grammar, check the spelling for me. So he sees for a few days the youngster hasn't come, and then finally he sees him perturbed, worried look on his face, like something is troubling him. So he says to him, what's the matter? So he says, Maulana, there's something that's really troubling me, bothering me, this kitab you gave me, and all our aqaid and our beliefs I was reading. And in here you mention something very strange. He says, what is it? He says, you mention that the Quran Sharif, every single fact mentioned in the Quran is true. We've got to believe in it. We've got to accept it as it is. He says, for the past few years we have learnt in university and our professor is teaching us Islamic studies. He mentioned to us that the Quran is a book of stories, a book of anecdotes, a book of lessons. And on the other side we have science and scientific evidence. So wherever Quran Sharif mentions a scientific fact, we don't have to accept it. We don't have to believe it. Quran is a book of stories and anecdotes only. He says to him, "By your iman is incomplete. Your iman is defective. It means you don't believe in the Quran. So لا يكون في قلبه العقائد الباطلة. When it comes to our belief system, a person makes an effort. Unfortunately, this is one of the dimensions and avenues of deen, my dear brothers, that is severely lacking in our lives. When it comes to our fiqh, Alhamdulillah, we have some masla, masail, we go to the ulama, my zakat, is it right or not? Generally, there is some sort of consciousness. That also, effort has to be made. But there is some level of consciousness, my ibadat must be right, my salah, is it right, my wudu, my zakat, hajj, umrah, we go for hajj classes, Alhamdulillah. When it comes to business dealings also, many businessmen will contact the ulama ikiram, are my dealings correct, is it above board, there's no interest, etc. But when it comes to our belief system, what do I believe regarding Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, regarding Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, regarding the akhirat, jannat, jahannam. So in his heart, there are no false beliefs. And the fifth and the last gauge, the last yardstick for a sound heart, a clean and pure heart, لا يكون في قلبه غير الله. There is only Allah in his heart. In the hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ. In a partnership, ulama explain, in this world a person has a partnership. The two partners, and they built the business up, and there's some dispute and there's a fallout. For my partnership, I will fight for my share. I won't let it go like that, I know how much of effort and sweat I put behind it. So in this dunya, for partnerships, I will fight for my share. Allah Ta'ala says, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَى. I am the most independent. Allah is as-samad. Allah says, if you will make a partnership with me, you are only supposed to have my muhabbat and my love in your heart, and you will now fill other things into your heart. Allah says, I am أَغْنَى. I am independent, I will walk away from that partnership. I do not need to be there, I don't need your ibadat. So whether our hearts are full with the love of Allah or the love of everything else. In the verse that we mentioned, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. Allah Ta'ala says they have taken these idols, they love them as they ought to love Allah. And then Allah speaks about the people of true iman. People with the sound heart, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Those who have iman, Allah Ta'ala says, they have intense love for Allah. On one hand, these people, they have their idols, their passions, their hobbies, their sports, whatever else it may be, whatever is blocking their connection with Allah. And on the other hand, the people of iman, Allah says they have intense love. Such love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that now no matter what it may be, but I can't miss my salawat jamaat. My Quran tilawat didn't get completed for the day, something is not right. I have to finish it before I go to bed. And we know, my dear brothers, a person wakes up in the morning for Fajr Salah, I can't leave home without checking my WhatsApp. Maybe some important message came in the night. I have to see. I have to respond to the message first, sometimes on the way to the masjid also. But I can't leave bed without checking my messages. But my Surah Yasin, my morning du'as, du'as for protection for my life, my wealth, my family. The morning and evening du'as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had taught so valuable and so effective. One of our akabir would say that I don't leave home in the morning without appointing 70,000 angels to do my work for me. Someone asked him, what do you mean? He says, masnoon dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. A person will read this specific dua, A'udhu billahi sami' al-alim min ash-shaytanir rajim, three times in the last few verses of Surah Al-Hashr. 70,000 angels will make dua and maghfirat for this person. He says, I won't leave home without this. I know I won't leave home without my lunch for the day. If I left my cell phone at home, my mind is upside down. I'll leave and come back. I've got to have my phone with me. I've got to be connected. But my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my du'as in the morning, my Surah Yasin, my Quran tilawat, my salawat jamaat, Allah Ta'ala has given us the month of Ramadan, my dear brothers, for us to make this effort. This is the effort a person has got to make right till his last moments. No person can feel he's safe. Can be the imam of the masjid, can be a musalli, can be a businessman, whoever it may be. No person can be safe until our eyes close with kalima on our lips, with iman in our heart. No person is safe. This is the effort that a person has to have lifelong. Allah Ta'ala has created the avenues for us, these majalis and programs that take place, and not just in the month of Ramadan, throughout the year. Our mashayikh and ulama are working tirelessly in order to assist us to make this effort on the heart. As we mentioned, my dear brothers, I won't tolerate if my car is not idling properly. If the car is leaking oil, the aircon is not blowing cool, and the engine is not sounding right, I've got to send it to the mechanic. No matter how much it costs, I've got to get it fixed up. If it's not coming right, I want a new car. When it comes to my heart, and it comes to the alignment of my gaze, the balancing of my limbs, the cleansing and the purification of my heart, for us to make this intention and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this is my goal and objective in the month of Ramadan, that I want a clean heart, I want a pure heart. The dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma tahhir qulubana, O Allah, purify and cleanse our heart. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah give us tawfiq, Allah give us the realization and consciousness, my dear brothers, that before we leave this world, my heart must become pure and clean, so that I can leave this world in a condition Allah Ta'ala is pleased with me. And more important than that, on the day of Qiyamah, it does not become a day of ruswa, a day of disgrace. Allah Ta'ala accepts me. Allah Ta'ala becomes happy with me. We heard in the Witr Salah today, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmain. Every person is waiting for that jackpot, that now the angels will come, and ulama say the ruh will come dancing and going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the day of rejoicing. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان وجعلنا هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق، وأعمالنا من الرياء، وألسنتنا من الكذب، وأعيننا من الخيانة، فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور، فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات، والمسلمين والمسلمات، الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم يا أول الأولين، يا آخر الآخرين، يا راحم المساكين، يا ذا القوة المتين، يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين. O my Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, most kind Allah, most loving Allah. O my Allah, we have raised our hands up before you on this Mubarak and blessed night, O my Allah. On the night of, that could be the night of Qadr, O my Allah, in these last 10 days of the month of Ramadan. O my Rahim Kareem Allah, with yaqeen and conviction upon the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with full trust upon you, O my Allah. O my Allah, we have raised our hands in hope, O my Allah, that you will cleanse and purify our hearts, O my Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, O my Rahim Kareem Allah. Forgive us for all our gunas and sins from the time of bulugh till now, O my Allah. Ya Allah, those gunas and sins we committed knowingly, unknowingly, during the day, during the night, minor, major, O my Allah. Ya Allah, those sins we committed thinking that it will not catch up to us, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we have raised our hands. Ya Allah, genuinely from the bottom of our hearts, we are expressing our remorse and our regret, O my Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive us completely, O my Allah. Forgive our spouses, O my Allah. Forgive our parents, O my Allah. Forgive our children, our relatives, our neighbors, our musallis, our friends, O my Rahim Kareem Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, make this a tawbatan nasuha, O my Allah. Ya Allah, how many times we have made tawbah before you? How many times we promise not to go back to those gunas and sins, O my Allah? Ya Allah, you gave us our limbs and our life, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you gave us our eyes to look at our halal wives, O my Allah. To look at the faces of our parents, O my Allah. To look at the Baytullah, to cool our eyes by looking at Rosa Mubarak, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you give us our eyes to look at the Quran Sharif, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we looked at everything haram and impermissible, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you gave us our ears to listen to Quran Sharif, O my Allah. You gave us our ears to listen to the words of your praise, O my Allah. O my Allah, we filled our ears with music, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we filled our limbs with your disobedience, O my Allah. We used our hands to break your commands, O my Allah. We used our legs to walk towards your disobedience, O my Allah. Ya Allah, when we were breaking your command, if you wanted, you could have snatched away those faculties from us, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you made our sattari and concealed us, O my Allah. Ya Allah, still you clothed us, my Allah. You fed us, O my Allah. You gave us to drink, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you gave us our homes and our cars and our wives and our spouses and children, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you gave us our businesses and our assets, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you didn't take this away from us, O my Rahim Kareem Allah. Ya Allah, we make shukr to you for your bounties and blessings, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we are expressing our remorse and our nadamat, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we promise we won't go back to your disobedience, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we beg you, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, through your power of jazb and pull, Ya Allah, pull us by our forelocks towards you, O my Allah. Ya Allah, even if we don't want to, Ya Allah, still pull us towards your obedience, O my Allah. Ya Allah, pull us out from the gutter of guna and sin, my Allah. Ya Allah, the hearts have become soiled and rusty, O my Allah. The hearts have become dirty and filthy, O my Allah. Ya Allah, in this world we won't tolerate a little bit of dirt on our clothes, Ya Allah. We won't tolerate dirt in our homes, O my Allah. O my Rahim Kareem Allah, how will we stand before you with dirty hearts, O my Allah? Ya Allah, give us the realization and consciousness, O my Allah, that we have to make an effort on this heart, O my Allah. Ya Allah, give us the hearts of your awliya and friends, O my Allah. Ya Allah, such they have the power of iman, O my Allah, when nafs and shaitan will attack. Ya Allah, when that pounding will begin on the heart. Ya Allah, when we will hear those whisperings and we will see that avenue of guna and sin in front of us, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you come between us and our hearts, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you come to our rescue and our assistance, O my Allah. Ya Allah, la malja wa la manja minka illa ilayk. Ya Allah, there is no refuge, O my Allah. There is no help. There is no assistance from you except by turning to you, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you, we beg of you, O my Allah, give us clean and pure lives, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we want to please you, my Allah. We want to become obedient to you, my Allah. Ya Allah, we want to fulfill your commands, O my Allah. Ya Allah, none of us want to disobey you, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have gathered here, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have shown some initiative from our side, that too with your tawfiq, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you accepted us to come, Ya Allah. This is a sign you want us, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we want you, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we beg of you, O my Allah. We don't want to lead a life of sin, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, pull us out of the gutter of guna and sin. Ya Allah, make it easy and enjoyable and pleasurable for us to obey you, O my Allah. Ya Allah, if you give us clean and pure lives and hearts, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will become happy, O my Allah. Ya Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, he will become pleased and happy that we will come in front of him, in front of you with these clean hearts, O my Allah. O my Rahim Kareem Allah, don't disgrace us on the day of Qiyamah, O my Allah. Ya Allah, on that day, O my Allah, when the truth will become exposed, O my Allah, our wives will see everything, our children will see everything, O my Allah. Ya Allah, when those reels will be played in front of the entire ummah, O my Allah. Ya Allah, don't disgrace us, O my Allah. Ya Allah, in this world you made sattari and concealed us, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we have hope you will conceal us on the day of Qiyamah also, O my Allah. Ya Allah, if you were to expose us in this world, no one will look at us, Ya Allah. People will spit on our faces, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you concealed us, O my Allah. It is only your karam, your shafqat, your muhabbat, your love for us, O my Allah. Ya Allah, give us those hearts that are brimming with your muhabbat and your love, O my Allah. Ya Allah, make this the time, O my Allah. Make it the turning point in our lives, O my Allah. Every Ramadan we lift our hands, every big night we lift our hands, and the next morning we fall back into guna and sin. Ya Allah, but we will continue trying, O my Allah. We will continue to make an effort, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we have hope you will pull us towards you, O my Rahim Kareem Allah. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq to find Laylatul Qadr, O my Allah, to be from those fortunate ones who will be freed from the fire of Jahannam, O my Allah. Ya Allah, in dunya we can't bear a little bit of pain, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we can never bear the fire of Jahannam, O my Allah. Ya Allah, in this world we see our small children getting hurt, Ya Allah, it hurts the heart, O my Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, we didn't guide our children, my Allah. We didn't give them dini, ta'lim and education, O my Allah. Ya Allah, don't show us the day where they will have to be punished, O my Allah. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq to make the right decisions, O my Allah. Such that you will become pleased and happy with us, O my Rahim Kareem Allah. O my Allah, the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, blow your winds of mercy and rahmat, O my Allah. Ya Allah, with the suffering, pain, hardship, Ya Allah, you remove it, O my Allah. Ya Allah, those who are giving their lives at the forefront for deen, O my Allah, accept it from them, O my Allah. Ya Allah, make this Ramadan an easy Ramadan for them, O my Allah. O my Rahim Kareem Allah, you bring solace and comfort to their hearts, O my Allah. O my Rahim Kareem Allah, accept them on behalf of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, protect Haramain Sharifain. Ya Allah, cleanse Haramain Sharifain from all those things that are of your disobedience and your displeasure, O my Allah. Ya Allah, cleanse Haramain Sharifain. Return Masjid al-Aqsa to the Muslims, O my Allah. Give them full control over it, O my Allah. O my Rahim Kareem Allah. Ya Allah, save us from the fitna of Dajjal, O my Allah. From the fitna of the end of times, O my Allah. O my Allah, when it is time for our maut, become pleased and happy with us. Give us tawfiq of making tawbah before we leave this world, O my Allah. Ya Allah, all those du'as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had asked for, all the good he asked for, Ya Allah, give us a share in that, O my Allah. Whatever evil he asked protection from, Ya Allah, you protect us and save us from it, O my Allah. Ya Allah, keep us in your afiyat and protection. Ya Allah, keep us with sihat, salamat. Ya Allah, all those du'as we forgot to ask, we wanted to ask. Ya Allah, you are aware of the du'as of the heart, the needs of the heart, the cry of the heart. Ya Allah, fulfill all our jais, hajat and desires. All those who ask for du'a, Ya Allah, accept their du'as also, O my Allah. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Brothers who wish to freshen up, inshallah, refreshments have been provided downstairs in the basement. We can partake of the refreshments and thereafter try and come back into the masjid, inshallah. There is still a lot of time left in the night. At least some infiradi ibadat second session will begin at 10:15, inshallah. So let us try and come for that program as well. And some individual ibadat also before we go home, inshallah.